I feel like my whole childhood is a lie.
So you've been going over them.
I have been. My whole childhood's a lie. I need to rethink my whole life.
I did this a bunch of years ago.
Did you?
I can't believe I didn't like tell you about it.
I don't know what to do right now. I just feel like I've been lied to.
And if you don't know that song, it's an Uncle Moishe classic.
Uncle Moishe classic?
Yeah.
Okay. Tyra, 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 Tyra. Okay. So in our last episode, you mentioned something about how a lot of the Mordechai, I think you said Mordechai Ben David songs, actually come from Russia.
It was actually the song Yidden.
Right.
And that was an actual Russian folk song.
Right. So, and I questioned it and I said, is that even true? And we reached out. We said, we want to reach out to the audience and ask them if they know and they could give us more information. The challenge was accepted by our audience. Thank you. And thank you to, we got a lot of responses.
No. It was a lot of responses.
A lot of responses. But SS, we don't know your full name, but SS sent us this Google Doc that listed every single Jewish song and where it came from. And my mind was blown.
He doesn't take credit for the Google Doc. Somebody else made it. I don't know who.
But he was privy.
Yeah.
Which we were not.
Apparently he's on the in.
So I'm going through the stock, clicking and clicking and clicking. I couldn't stop. I went into that rabbit hole. When I hit this song, Tankuj, Tankuj, Vikrukaj, which is Tyra Sivilana Moshe, right?
That's when it all fell apart.
It all fell apart. My whole childhood. It's a Slovakian folk song. Are you kidding me? Why? What? Jews can't. We could come up with the polio vaccine. We can't come up with our own music, people.
No. Listen, we're talented, but not on schedule. You know what I'm saying? Like if we need to come up with an album, like we'll just reach out to Western Europe.
But why can't we make our own stuff? Come on, seriously. And like, it's not just some, the biggest Jewish songs. The biggest.
But
some of them are, one of them was from the Russian, the Soviet Union's military anthem. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
No, that's not okay.
No, it's good catchy song. How you know? Because even Jews take it.
Yeah, it's a little,
it's
a little embarrassing. It's a little embarrassing, I have to say.
I understand you, but the vast majority is original. The ones
the words?
All the songs. Think about it. There are tens of thousands of Jewish songs, and you found one Google Doc that has a handful?
It's not a handful. It was a lot there.
Okay.
And no. They were the biggest songs, okay? And we're not just talking about Gad Elbaz. We know about his Hashem Melech song that he took from some Euro whatever. And it was a huge hit there.
Yeah, this was a trans-Euro beat.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Even the Jews like it.
Yeah.
That's how it's a real hit.
And people don't even, we don't even know that this, and I'll give you another example. You know how there's some hack today about how, like, you go to Simchas and it's like, the music, it's not Jewish. You know how they say that, right? And like, it's not yeshivish enough. And and if there's no saxophone, by the way, if there's no saxophone in the music, it's not Jewish, right? But these,
quote-unquote. Very funny because I was at a chasana yesterday.
Oh.
And I was watching a Rosh Hashiva and there was like a yeshivish song on. And he was like I'm watching him and he's loving it. And it immediately after, this techno beat comes on and he just
beeline for the exit.
He doesn't know I'm watching him. Like, nobody's watching him. He just stopped moving.
Yeah.
It was almost as though the music shut off. Like, if you just saw him, you'd think the music stopped.
Right.
And to me, it was like, wow. Like, this doesn't speak to me. Like, I'm moving. Because
why is it not kosher? If these are all, these songs were popular, the popular pop hits of the USSR. Right? At that time, these were the pop hits. So if you take a pop hit, like, let's say, AKA Pella, you know how they do that?
Yes.
Or anyone else, or Gad Elbaz, whatever, they take the pop hits and they make songs and they say, well, it's not Jewish enough, it's not Jewish music, and there's no saxophone. But the reason those things are quote-unquote Jewish is because they just took them at that time.
I think it also has to do with where they're from. Like, that is, like, the Russian European sound. Think about it. That's Jewish music.
Yes, but so USSR.
There's no difference. It sounds correct.
Right.
Because of where it comes from.
Okay, so all I'm saying is maybe it's time we shifted away from the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics.
Yeah, right? These are very old songs, man.
Okay.
None of them are trending right now.
Okay, so this is Kiddush Club, if this is your first time. And basically, this is what the show is about. Welcome.
It gets a little more interesting, I hope.
I don't think so. I think this is it. We're going to talk about a lot of things. Obviously, we're going to get into the attack from Iran on Israel. We're going to get into that. We're going to cover it. You're going to hear our unique take on it. But before we do, you know, we're, Pesach is here, basically. And so we're going to be on a slight hiatus, obviously, because
there's next no time week, to release no time. Episodes.
Right, exactly. There's no time to record.
No Chol HaMoed.
Right. Right. So you're not going to be hearing from us. We're going to try to take this one as long as possible to give you that inoculation.
Also, Svir is coming.
Yeah.
So, like, you're probably going to be hearing this right after Pesach, just as Chazara.
Yes, that's right. That's right. So, whatever, you know, hopefully it's going to be a good episode, but we don't know. We make no promises. Right. So, but speaking of Pesach, by the way, we've talked about this before, but I wanted to get this out. Did you notice the situation with the prices this year?
I'm not in tuned. Like, if
you're not in tuned to it, you don't do the shopping. I do the grocery shopping. Yeah. In my
anybody
house.
Who knows, who's like an OG listener, understands that I have no idea, and it's not because I'm like some big veer. It's just because my mind won't tolerate it. You know what I'm saying?
But you're paying the credit card bills, right?
I get it. Yes.
So, you know, you got to be feeling it.
I get to the register. I can't process. I cannot process. I can't watch. I just don't look. Whatever it is, I close my eyes and swipe.
Okay.
The less I know, the better.
No. So I was, you know, I've been going store hopping, right? And I ended up at some point in ShopRite. They had a big selection of kosher products, kosher Pesach products. And they're usually of the lower end, you know, good deals. And there's a box of Streitz black and white cookies for $13.50. $13.50 for a box of Streitz black and white cookies?
I mean,
seriously?
Yeah, no, that's that. I think that is
no, but all of them were that price.
But it's expected. That's the Pesach prices. I mean, no. Come on, you know,
$13.50 for a small box? No. No, that's a little bit crazy.
You're saying it's crazier than last year?
Yes.
Because eggs are cheaper than last year?
Yeah, but not, you know, shmura matzah.
No.
Nothing. You know what I'm saying? Shmura matzah, you need to take out a mortgage to pay for shmura matzah.
Yeah, we've said this before. It is the poor man's bread.
Exactly. Exactly. It's really out of control.
It makes poor people.
And that's why, for the first time ever, we're going to tell our listeners, if you guys want to help us with our Pesach, you can by visiting buymesomeshmura.com.
Wait, come on.
That's a real, yes. You could go to that website.
Buymesomeshmura.com?
Yes.
Is that real?
That's real.
I feel like I'm being trolled right now.
No. Buymesomeshmura.com. You can go there. You can, it's basically going to buy us a coffee. But this is Pesach edition, so it's buymesomeshmura.com. And it's spelled exactly as it sounds. So take a minute. Help your humble hosts with their Pesach. Help us keep the lights on. Help us keep the digital devices running. Buymesomeshmura.com.
Bro, this is next level schnurring. I am so proud.
Thank you. I'm very excited, by the way, for Pesach, aside from everything, and we've talked about this in the past, but as you know, I love Pesach food. I love Pesach food. And I the thought of Pesach approaching, I'm so excited.
Really? Because I'm the exact opposite.
Yeah. I know.
As are most people in the world.
So that's what I wanted to know. Is that true? I can't be the only one. People who are listening. You're telling me you don't get excited about Pesach food. But, you know, there's a Pesach dish. I don't know if I've mentioned this in the past. There's a Pesach dish that's one of my favorite things of all year. And that is matzah lasagna. So obviously, I'm not gebrux. So you take the matzah, basically. You wet the matzah till it gets really, really soft. And you make lasagna. I love it.
Really?
Love.
No. There are good matzah dishes. Like, I don't do gebrux, but you know what? There are some great dishes that have matzah. I mean, obviously, I eat gebrux, if anybody had a question about that. But my father told me that he keeps gebrux the first 2 days of Yontif.
Really? And he just told you this now?
Yeah. This blew me away. Really? He's like, he calls me, and he's like, we don't eat gebrux the first 2 days, right? I'm like, what? Do you have the right number? Like, where is my father, and then how do you have his phone?
So, wait, just the first 2 days, but you could eat chametz on the third day, right?
No chametz.
No, only, but in other words, gebrux, the reason you're not doing it is because the water and the flour, the matzah.
It's a chumrah, by the way. This is...
Right, so, but why only the first 2 days? What's the difference between the first two and day three?
I don't know.
Is what I'm asking.
That's what I wanted to know.
Is a package deal.
That's what I want to know. That I didn't understand.
It makes no sense.
And I was like, my vote is no. Sorry. Like,
of course not. Do you do only shmura?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
So I do too. But I didn't until I got married. And I mean, my family didn't. We, you know, first 2 days we do Shmorah, yes. Oh, there you go, first 2 days.
First 2 days. There's something to the first 2 days.
And then my wife was like, by the way, we only eat Shmorah. And I was like, we do? She's, yeah, are you kidding? Of course we only eat Shmorah. And so from that day forward, I only eat Shmorah. But like—
Do you want to laugh? Because the same thing happened to me.
Really?
Oh my goodness. My wife saw Manischewitz.
Yeah, Manischewitz.
And she went, she saw stars.
Same here.
So I was like, what do you mean? Mandelof is my favorite thing on planet Earth. And can't get like a decent mandelof without like really like matzah meal.
Right.
You need matzah meal in your mandelof.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. So we both married up in terms of Frumkeit. That's really where we are here. And another Pesach news, by the way. So now my childhood has been destroyed from that Google Doc. And now my Pesach has been destroyed because there was an article in the Times of Israel about a Jewish mother who wrote a Haggadah that's themed with like this pop star, this world famous American pop star, and like it's sold out. Like, one second. You can't just take a Pesach and a Haggadah and then slap some celebrity who has not Jewish, by the way, the celebrity is not Jewish, nothing to do with Jews. In fact, there was a Shaila, if this, she's a woman, if she was even anti-Semitic, because she ended up at, you remember, I think we covered it, she ended up at some comedy club that was supporting, you know, Stop the Genocide. And you can't just take whatever you want, is what I'm saying. Slap it onto something Jewish, and now it's Jewish.
Well, that's what's happening lately.
Right, they did it to the USSR theme song. Now they're doing it to...
No. That's what's happening. People are taking Judaism and everything Jewish. Like, in the last 10 years, we have gotten a lot of press.
Yes.
And now it's almost, like, cool to be Jewish. I wouldn't say, like...
Not cool.
Not popular, but still cool.
I don't think it's cool.
I think it's cool.
Definitely not now.
I think people think it's cool.
Now with everything that's going on with Israel and anti-Semitism and...
Okay, that's only like since October 7th, let's say.
Oh, you're saying so pre-October
7th, right? It was like, okay, it's cool to be Jewish. I have a Jewish friend, whatever. Okay, you're cool. And now people are just like, I don't know how to say this word, Judifying everything. You know what I'm saying?
You could be a Nazi with that word. That's such a Nazi word.
I don't know how to. Yeah, not the best, but I don't know how. There is no like word to Jewify, maybe.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But yeah.
But people are taking our culture and just putting it everywhere.
Give me an example.
Your Haggadah.
Okay, give me another example. You're making it like, yes, what did she do wrong? She did what everybody else does. But I don't see this so often.
Like even Ben Shapiro, your Rebbe.
Yeah, my political Rebbe. Let's clarify.
Okay, correct.
You know,
so even when he was doing that rap, remember he was doing that rap with that famous rapper.
Yes.
He went under the name of Dr. Dreidel.
Yes,
that's typical of taking the Judaism, taking the culture, and just using it out there in mainstream.
Okay, I feel like that's more of a pun, but I hear what you're saying. So you're getting ready to publish your own Haggadah. Is that what you're saying? You're going to make like the Donald Trump brings you Pesach Haggadah? Is that what you're doing?
I'm already on Shavuos.
Oh, okay, good. Smart.
Going to make some type of cheesecake. You know what I'm saying?
Here we go.
Yeah, it's
in the works. I like that. Okay, so anyway, thank you to all our listeners, and thank you for the interactions, by the way. We love them. Keep them coming. And that brings me to shout-outs, by the way. We've been getting a ton of shout-outs. I don't know where they're coming from, but hey, keep them coming.
The more, the merrier. Love shout-outs.
Exactly. So first of all, Ben Schiffman, happy birthday. His birthday was on Tuesday. And shout-out to his son as well, Mordechai Schiffman. And the reason it's a shout-out to both is because they're both listeners.
Well, the Schiffmans are VIPs, right?
Yeah, and why is that? What does that get them?
Well, first of all, they won the Purim contest.
Oh, yes!
Second place.
Yes. Very nice. Oh, so it was a fix. The whole thing was a fix.
No. It was all very fair. All above board. Third party.
Oh, wait. We're going to give an honorable mention to Jake Turks, which we didn't do. Honorable mention on his kids' Purim costumes. Jake didn't get his entry in time.
Yeah, and there were a few of those.
Yeah.
But what can we do? It was chosen.
What can we do? Yeah. What can we do?
But you know what? We could be more clear next time, like with deadlines and rules and prize money. Because no one knew that was there, including me.
That was the surprise.
Yeah.
That was the surprise. Okay. Also, shout out to Jacob Shikalo. His birthday's on Thursday. And also shout out birthday of Chad Shapiro from Atlanta. And it was actually mentioned and requested to mention that his birthday is actually at Bodega's Chametz, which is a big wow. I don't get that. You know, listen, happy birthday. But like, I understand if you say like, oh, you know, shout out his birthday's on Zeis Chanukah. Oh, I hear. His birthday's on, you know, first night of Pesach. Oh, I hear.
But Bedikas Chametz, you're saying not really a thing.
Yeah.
Not really a day.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's the only way he gets a candle.
Oh, not nice. Not nice.
And a feather.
No, but like, would you? It's true.
But and like, a wooden spoon, perhaps.
It's like, oh, yeah. A big mazel tov on his birthday. It's on Tisha B'Av.
Right.
Like, nobody does that.
Well, it's not the same, but I get it.
Yeah.
I do like, get it. Well, it's also Tainis Becharis. It is a fast.
Another fun day. Fun things
same,
abound.
Yeah, yeah.
He probably had very sad birthdays growing up, right?
I don't know. I mean,
maybe not.
Listen, I have warm, fond memories of like B'dichas Chametz.
Me too.
And
me too, absolutely.
Looking for the 10 pieces.
Yes, yes. Okay, like, that's valid.
Those are good memories.
That's valid. Okay, Chad, we appreciate your listenership. You and the whole mishpacha, keep listening. We hope you have an amazing birthday and an amazing batika.
Yeah. Find them all. Find every one of those 10 pieces. Also, shout out this week to Jake Yarok. Thank you for listening. And a birthday wish for Frimi Khan from Suri and Ricky. Happy birthday, Frimi. And finally, a shout out also to Joey Girada.
Okay. Are we done? That's it? Anything else you want to shout out?
There's more, but I'm going to leave them for next week.
Okay, leave for next week. Yes, I think that's our limit for this week. Okay, let's move on to the news. I mean, obviously, the main topic, and I know obviously everybody's been watching this. We all know a lot of the details, but we're going to go over a little bit of it and talk about the attack against Israel by Iran. Just to lay the groundwork a little bit, just some points. So we all know what happened, and Iran launched ballistic missiles, cruise missiles, and drones. There were 300 aerial threats that were launched from Iran and its proxies, 99% interception rate. 170 drones were launched, 120 ballistic missiles, and 30 cruise missiles. None of the cruise missiles actually entered Israeli territory. I believe it's only 4 ballistic missiles actually made it in. The Arrow system was actually successful in shooting them down,
which is absolutely insane, being that Arrow was never tested anywhere.
In the real world. No, this is a modern day NACE. You know, we have to acknowledge that, you know, of course, you know, this is Shtadlis here of many countries, and we're going to talk about that, but this is a NACE.
This is not just a NACE. If it was a 90% interception rate, that would be a miracle.
Yes.
This was 99.9.
There was only one death of an Arab girl.
No, she's not dead.
Oh, right. She's
just injured.
Yeah. No, I think she's in critical, though.
Okay. But to think about this a second, if this is like a Kriyas Yamsuf, this is like a splitting of the sea level miracle that happened. It looks like nature. It looks like, oh, yeah, we did a really great job. But there is no chance on this planet that you get a 99.9 interception rate when you're discussing cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, and aerial drones, which kind of leads me to believe, because I know there's a lot of debate about this, Iran gave a heads up. Did they give a heads up to the United States? Did Israel know that this was coming?
There's a lot of talk about that.
So we know when Trump was in office, Iran called him up and he's like, listen, we have to give a response. It's going to be short. It's going to be brief. It's not going to have any damage. You know, just bear with us, please, while we save face among our own countrymen. And Trump was like, okay, that was a respectful request. We said, okay, no problem. In this situation, you could see it one of two ways. No, the first way being, there's no chance that you launch 300 projectiles from another country and it's like, oh, it's just a warning shot. Like, oh, we're just saving face. Like, we intended to do no damage. On what planet do you send 300 plus projectiles to another country and expect no no casualties.
No, it's
not a possibility. Even
agreed, not a possibility.
Right.
Not a, even with the conspiracy theorists, it's not. It's not reality. 300, like you said, it overwhelmed everything. And if not for the cooperation between the United States, Britain, France, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Qatar, Emirates, everybody joined in to help, and that by itself is an ace, by the way.
Yeah, I agree that with that. There's an ace. Like, because I didn't know. Like, I didn't know we have friends, like, in those areas.
Yeah, no, crazy, crazy.
So those, to me, are the two sides. Like, either they were just, you know, saving face for their countrymen, right, and firing a warning shot, like, oh, we won't be messed with that way, or they really did mean to try to kill and inflict as much damage as possible, but just were terribly unsuccessful.
I think the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. That's honestly what I believe. Because you said it yourself. If they were just going to do something, right, and really not intend for any damage, if they would have launched, you know, 5 cruise missiles, 5 ballistic missiles, and 5 drones, that would be big.
Right. Enough of a message, too.
This is a country launching ballistic missiles is insane.
Yeah. And I don't think people understand, like, if you haven't seen a ballistic missile or a cruise missile, it's as big as a building.
Yes. And they fly supersonic, right?
Yeah. They get there in 12 minutes.
Yeah. It's no joke. And, you know, we're actually going to include in the WhatsApp, we have a video, I'm sure you saw it, it was in the, I think it was the Times of Israel that posted it, a video of the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem with the
missiles overhead.
Missiles overhead being shot down.
Yeah.
And that, it you see that and, you know, you get chills.
Yeah, it's chilling because we've never seen something like that. Like,
exactly.
Just that angle, having missiles being shot down, like the proximity to the actual Har HaBayis is just... we've never had that.
Right, right. And I also think that it's the truth is somewhere in the middle because based on Iran's response, right? So the rest of the world is making jokes, and we're going to talk about some of those jokes about how unsuccessful this was. Shout out to my friend Ari in Israel, who I had, you know, I had sent him a message on WhatsApp, you know, just thinking about you and the family. I hope everybody's well. I mean, I knew they were okay because it wasn't successful, but I was just imagining him with his family in the bomb shelter being scared. He has little ones. So I just reached out to him. His response to me was something that he forwarded, and he wrote, "This attack could have been just an email." That's right.
Which is
kind of true.
Which is true.
Like, he's saying we were totally, totally chilled. You know, his little ones were a little anxious, but, you know, it was chilled.
This happens a lot where we in America are panicked. Like we don't know what to do with ourselves. We were very afraid.
Very.
But then in Israel, they're just like completely chilled about it.
Yeah.
It's like, Moto, you see the firework? Yom HaTzmaut come early this year.
Yeah, it's 100% true. 100% true. But what I was going to say before was, so I do think it's somewhere in the middle. Also because if you look at Iran, so the whole world is making fun, but in Iran, they're celebrating the massive success. They're playing on TV fake footage of explosions from, like, Ukraine. Like, yeah, no, really, that's what they're doing.
I believe you.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's propaganda.
Total, total propaganda. So they were hoping for some death and destruction.
Yeah, but at the same time, they tweeted out, like, the matter is concluded.
Yes. So
which is so weird. Like, if you want to try to, like, kill people, like, you're not done. The matter is not concluded at all.
And they said, among other things, the matter is concluded. This has concluded our military operation, and it has, quote, achieved all of its objectives. Really? What objectives exactly did it accomplish here?
I feel like people in Iran are going to lose jobs. Like, people, like, high military figures are getting fired,
getting
looking
axed
for work.
Yes,
you know?
100%. 100%.
Which is, by the way, this is who the Mossad picks up.
Yeah.
These guys are like, I am desperate for work.
100%.
Mossad, call me. I am available.
So, you know, on the negative side, by the way, there was a tremendous cost just for Israel. The cost of defending this, basically a night, what was it, an hour of defending, 2 hours, cost them 2.1 billion shekel.
How much American dollars is that?
550 million.
That's a lot of dough.
It's a lot of dough for 2 hours.
Right. For,
you know,
for this show.
For a show. Right. Right. I mean, look, they save lives. I mean, you can't.
That's
a great investment.
By the way, that's our cost. What's Iran's cost?
Right. That's
right.
Think
about it.
That's right.
Right? Like, guys, you could be doing, like, throw a parade.
Right.
Just, like, throw a parade.
A burning Israeli flag parade.
Right.
Do
and
it.
You know what? Play the same propaganda.
Yeah. 100%.
And just throw a parade. Like, treat yourselves, guys.
And what's interesting, I saw an interesting article where someone, it was actually on Yeshiva World, where they said that they showed what people were Googling during the attack. Did you see that?
I saw that.
And what was the number one thing people were, were Googling?
Psalms.
Tillim, yes.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that, by the way. I saw that in the Jerusalem Post. It's like,
it was in Jerusalem Post also.
Yeah, yeah. It's, it was like the top Google search during the attack was Tillim.
Mik Amcha, right?
Yeah, 100%.
It's unbelievable. I was very proud of that.
It's like people, like, especially if you're in Israel and you have missiles flying at you from Iran, which is obviously unprecedented, right?
Yes, you're totally.
Gonna, you should be very nervous. Like, that's where Jewish people go to. They just open the book. Yeah. Davin, that's, I mean, your only hope.
We saw it on October 7th, right? A lot of that's where you fall back. And it doesn't matter how frum you are. At that point, we're one people and we're unified again and where we fall back and we know it's really Hashem. Okay, we got to come to Hashem.
Could I ask you something like that seems a little weird?
Yeah, go.
We had October 7th. We had this attack from Iran. And both of them happened Bein Hazmanim.
I hear that. That's very interesting.
I don't know if it's anything.
Less Torah in the world.
Yeah.
I see what you did there. So obviously there's a ton of just people making fun of, you know, the
Iran.
The whole situation.
Iran, finished.
But this one I think was one of the best ones. We'll play it for you here. We'll include it in the WhatsApp. This is from some Lyle Culpepper, but I don't know where it came from, but here it is.
Israel has been shooting down thousands of innocent Iranian drones, and it needs to stop now. 40% of those drones are children. These are adolescent drones that are in the infancy of their dronehood. These are drones that will never be able to capture a sunset. These are drones that will never experience filming a landscape or a big shot of a city. Please pray for the drones of Iran. Shame on you, Israel. Shame on you.
So obviously he's making fun of like these woke peaceniks, their response to the drone attack. But it's worth mentioning that all of these supposed peaceniks who are, you know, ceasefire now, peace in the 9 hour times, all these guys were out cheering the attack that Iran had. All of a sudden they like the military and they like war and they like, you know, people get exploding when it's Jews. Isn't that interesting?
Extremely interesting. And there were like rallies, like hands off Iran. Like yes. That was the chant. Hands off Iran. Like, this is your passion now.
Yeah, it's insane. Iran, for their part, they're saying, you know, we don't know what if Israel's going to strike back. The latest news we're seeing is that they're deadlocked on if they're going to respond. We know that Biden said he doesn't want them to respond, you know, like you're even, which I think is a little crazy. But we'll talk about that shortly, but Iran themselves have said that if Israel retaliates, they said a bunch of things. First of all, they said that they're going to retaliate again with 10 times the number.
That's scary.
That's a little scary.
Yeah.
Khamenei, Yimach Shema, also said Al-Quds, which is Jerusalem, will be Muslim. Another thing he tweeted. Another thing they said is that Iran is going to retaliate with never-before-used weapons. That one got a chuckle out of me, right?
Right, Ki'ilu.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly, like, oh, because this one was such a resounding success. We have never-before-used weapons that
we know we have nothing to worry about.
Exactly.
But here's the thing, like, I can't make up my mind on Iran, because if they did this as, like, a little bit of a show of force, right, like we said maybe they did, maybe they're more level-headed than we think.
Meaning what?
Look what it took to get Iran to act. They had an assassination of two of their generals in Damascus. And then, before they attacked, they gave a heads up to the United States, let's say, or and to the UK. Like, they're not just trigger-happy Persians. That's what it seems like to
me. Sounds like a movie. Trigger-happy Persians.
I would watch that.
Yeah, I hear that. But at the same time, like we said before, 300. It's hard to get past that number.
Yeah, it's a big number.
You know, somebody said, I think Shapiro said it. Imagine, you know, Mexico launched, forget 300. Imagine Mexico launched two cruise missiles from Mexico City. Two. Oh,
that would be the end of Mexico.
Of Mexico City, exactly. No, it would cease to exist on the planet. You know, it would be done.
Oh, for sure. Adios, señor.
That's right.
It would be sure. Like, I'll see you later. And they would know.
No.
Like, nobody would expect differently.
And the world would be like, yeah, They got what they deserved.
Exactly. 100%. Two cruise missiles, the end. I just don't know if, like, are we taking Iran as a bigger threat than it really is?
I don't think so, because, I mean, we didn't even talk about nukes, right? Because if Lalaino, the nukes come, imagine, you know, you only need one to get through. God forbid.
I'm just saying. Scary. I know that they have, like, they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk, is what I'm saying. It's like Iran, like, they're very comfortable in their little world.
But you could look
talking against Israel and not doing anything generally. Yeah, they send their proxies, and for that there should be a price. Like, we need to eliminate those proxies. But do we have a real threat here? Is my question to you as a person.
So I think that, like I just said, if they were to have nukes, there's no doubt in my mind at this point that they would use them on cruise missiles and ballistic missiles. Yeah, I believe they will. I think they're crazy enough to want to wipe Israel off. I mean, they say it.
Right. That's what I'm saying to you. They
I take
say
them at
it,
their word. I take them. This is, they opened up, you know, this is a new reality. You don't understand. They launched missiles from their country to another country. There is no circumstance in the world where that happens where it doesn't lead to major war.
Okay.
Most notably, Russia and Ukraine, right?
So let's understand something. That attack could have been worse.
Yes.
Okay. But it wasn't. It seems like it was measured.
No, it was thanks to all of the countries that helped prevent it. And we're going to talk about those countries. For example, there was talk about... So we know America, France, Great Britain, all very, very involved. Then there was talk about Jordan. Turns out Jordan absolutely helped and even shot down some of the drones, including Jordanian pilots, which is shocking, right? We never could have predicted that. Then they said the Emirates was not involved. Now we know that they were. They were sharing intel. Even Qatar was sharing intel. Qatar was telling the United States about the launches and what was headed their way. Qatar, these guys are not good. I mean, they're Al Jazeera. These are not friends.
What do you mean? They house Hamas.
Yes, exactly. But they were working together with the United States.
I feel like sanity is prevailing when push comes to shove.
Or the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Or they really hate Iran so much, but they have to pander to their own people and to the Arab world and say, you know, Israel bad, Israel bad, Israel bad. But behind the scenes, they're like, we know that really Hamas is bad. And right. Israel's really not so bad.
Right. Yeah. Exactly right. But yes. I think maybe Qatar is pandering to the United States.
That could be.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, let me just be friends with, you know, the cool kid.
Yeah. 100%. And you know, another thing that was funny was, you know, so Saudi Arabia, there was a big shiloh of Saudi Arabia. Did they help? Didn't they help? So, like, Saudi Arabia's hedging it. Like, they don't want to come out and say that they helped. So at first they were like, no, Saudi Arabia didn't help. Now we know that absolutely Saudi Arabia shot things out of the sky, right? And, like, I was reading, I forgot who it was who was interviewed, but a member of, the Saudi government said, basically, he said, no, they had a system that automatically intercepted any suspicious entity in its airspace. We didn't go shoot Iran. We
would never help Israel. Never. We would never help them.
Exactly.
We are shooting down aliens. There were UFOs. UFO. So we shot it. But please, we, the Israel enemy, we would never help them.
Right. Right. It's plausible deniability. Right.
That's what they need.
But we know that they helped and we know that they knew. But yet, they'll keep saying this.
Because we know that there are normal people that want sanity and peace and safety.
Yeah. Yeah. On the plus side, one of the big news articles across the world, and it's just funny to me, is that, you know, the whole world now is looking, I mean, Great Britain announced that they're looking to possibly buy the Arrow defense system, as well as many other countries. They want to buy Israel's Iron Dome technology, Arrow technology, for their own countries to protect against ballistic missile launches.
You know what? This makes me laugh because it reminds me of, like, Avramovino.
Yeah.
With the dirt that turned arrows into arrows.
Yes.
Like, this may not work for you. You know what I'm saying? It worked for Israel, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But it may not. It may just be sand.
No, but for me, it was actually... That old joke came into my head, you know, and I think we've mentioned it before. You know the old joke where it's a rabbi and a priest... They're schnurring, they're on the sidewalk and they're begging, and a guy, and the rabbi is looks like a real schlump, and the priest is dressed all like beautiful and perfect, and each person that walks by hands a dollar to the priest and gives the rabbi nothing. And then finally one guy, he's watching this go on for a long time, and he's all bothered, and he goes to the rabbi and he says, Rabbi, Do you not get it? Look at the priest. His basket is filled with money. Yours is empty. Go clean yourself off. Put on some nice clothes. You'll get money. And the rabbi turns to the priest and says, Chaim, he's trying to tell us how to do our business. Right?
Old joke. Know it. Yes.
So it's almost like Israel was working with Iran. Like, if I didn't know better. You know what I'm saying?
Very interesting. I mean, this is tinfoil hat.
Yeah.
Like, you need to...
But this is going to be a windfall for Israel. Yeah. They're going to make serious money on this.
But we need it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Israel needs it after spending $500 million defending.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But the last thing we need is Iran coming back to us saying, we were only trying to help you. You owe us a commission.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Or now we're going to have all these conspiracy theorists, anti-Semites, being like, oh, Israel caused all this so that they could sell more of their military equipment, like all these crazy, woke, psycho conspiracy theorists.
Yeah, you need to get a tinfoil hat from Amazon.
Yes, agreed.
So as of now, we still don't know if Israel is going to retaliate.
No, we don't know. We hope that whatever Israel decides. I mean, I go back and forth on should they, shouldn't they, should they, shouldn't they. And Shapiro actually put it pretty succinctly, right? He said that there's basically three things they could do in response. They could basically not respond, do what Biden wants, and obviously, okay, so we discussed that one. Another option they could do is go and do a massive attack on the nuclear reactors.
Which, you know, by the way, now's your chance.
Now's the chance,
right?
Exactly.
Right, because everybody's always talking about how dangerous a nuclear Iran is.
Right.
Now's your chance to take the whole program out.
He threatened to do that. He said if Iran does anything, they're going to do that. So you kind of, you know, you're not going to look great if you don't keep your word. Or another option would be to just completely annihilate Hezbollah right now and say, you know, this is basically in the arm of Iran. They're in our backyard. And we can't have this. And then the last option is really to just finish Gaza and just go invade Rafah now and just get it done.
Like, no, I think that things need to happen concurrently. Like, you can't, like, Gaza aside, like, Gaza's going as normal. Like,
no, but the idea would be Hamas is also a proxy of Iran. We're not going to attack the country directly because the whole world doesn't want us to, but we're going to get rid of this one proxy. We're done with them. And we're not listening to anybody. There's no ceasefire. We're taking them out and we're done with this.
Mm. It's interesting, but it does come off a little weak. Kind of like my Ben Azmanim Shachar's attendance.
Oh.
I don't know.
And then you wonder why the attacks happen Ben Azmanim.
Interesting.
Right?
Interesting.
Yeah. See?
Okay. I accept the Musar.
Okay. So it's worth mentioning, you know, the reactions to everything in America, of course, have been all over the place. And the reaction among Jews has been all over the place. You know, there's the pro-Biden, the anti-Biden. We're going to cover both sides. But the best response, of course, comes from United States Senator John Fetterman.
Oh, as always.
Here he is.
Joining us now to discuss, Democratic Senator John Fetterman from the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Senator, what is your reaction to Iran's attack on Israel, and how worried are you that this is the beginning of an open war between the two countries?
Well, a couple of things, actually. I think it really demonstrates how it's astonishing that we are not standing firmly with Israel, and there should never be any kinds of conditions on all that. When a nation can launch hundreds of drones towards Israel, and I'm not going to be talking about conditions ever. And second, I think that also was Iran had to have some fireworks after Israel smoked that Iranian general. And I'm here for that. And I think it's just a matter of theater part of it as well, too. And it demonstrates how unstable things are and why we need to lean in and stand with Israel.
It is hard not to love John Fetterman.
100%. 100%. Cannot not love him. Exactly. But there's also been talk. So he goes on to say, by the way, you know, that he does support Joe Biden. He thinks he's a great president, but he disagrees, you know, harshly with his policies of late towards Israel with all these preconditions, et cetera, et cetera. And just as a, you know, on the other side, you know, so there is, we have to have tremendous courage for the United States stepping in to help thwart this. Joe Biden made that call. We have tremendous courage. But there is a flip side. And the flip side is that since Joe Biden became president, a lot of the sanctions and a lot of money has been flowing into Iraq, unlike it was during Trump. Just to give you an example, November 2023, $10 billion in frozen funds from Iraqi payments of Iranian energy was released. They got $10 billion from that. $6 billion, you remember that prisoner swap? Remember when they did the prisoner swap and they gave them an extra $6 billion?
That was with Obama, right?
Nope, that was during Biden. That was September 2023. July 2023, another $10 billion. They allowed Iraq to deposit payments for Iranian energy that the United States could have stopped, chose not to. $3.5 billion in 2021.
They had no shortage of money to carry out this attack.
Exactly.
But...
And $80 billion in Iranian oil exports because America hasn't been strict in enforcing the sanctions on the oil. $80 billion since 2021.
But it's interesting because John Kirby says that none of this is true.
Right, exactly.
None of this is, like, it's all for humanitarian efforts, and we're watching that account very closely. Give me a break.
Yeah, and we'll play that clip for you. Here it is.
Is it not fair to say, though, that there have been moves by this administration that have opened up cash and other opportunities for them, which we know are fungible in ways that are not helping the Iranian people, but are benefiting the elites and people there who chant death to America and
you,
death to Israel?
You and I have had this fungibility argument before. I obviously take a different issue, or take an issue with that characterization. The sanctions relief that has come about, or it's not even sanctions relief, but the additional funds that have been made available to Iran due to a sanctions relief program that the Trump administration put in place can only be used for humanitarian goods. It doesn't go to the regime. And the idea that the regime was somehow felt like they were freed up to support these proxies because of that, it just doesn't comport with the facts. But they have been supporting these proxies for many, many years.
And it comports with their language, though, saying we will use this money in the way that we want to use it.
They can't.
Definitely fungible money.
Right, exactly.
Wait, I don't even know what that means. Like, I remember from the NFTs, like, by the way, has anybody heard from NFTs?
No, NFTs are done. Completely
fallen off. So just explain, what is fungibility?
So fungibility just means that when you have money, so if I say that it's not fungible, it means that if I give you $100 and I say, well, this is for you to buy specifically to go give to Stucca, and you say, okay, no problem. You walk out of this studio and you go to the corner and you buy yourself new AirPods with that money, there's no accountability. You could do that and get away with it.
Yeah.
That's how cash works.
Right. Oh, so basically what you're saying, I guess in the Gemara's terms, lohitsa nitna.
Exactly.
It's given to spend.
Exactly. Exactly. So like, hey, Iran, we're giving you this money, but no, only for humanitarian purposes, okay?
Right. But nobody's going to know the difference. So what did he mean when he said we're watching that account very closely, as though there's some World Bank that's on the screen? It's like, oh, there was a withdrawal. Let's see what that was about.
We all saw the video of cash in a plane. Going to Iran. Like, we saw that with our eyes. What kind of gaslighting is this?
Pallets of cash.
Yes.
Pallets.
Yes. And we don't buy it. We don't buy it. Also, Rubio came out, and I didn't even realize this, and Rubio is saying that Biden leaked the fact that he told the Biden White House leaked the fact that he told Israel not to retaliate. He's saying that Biden did that specifically.
Intentionally.
To wink at his, you know, progressive flank, all these, you know, extreme anti-Israel leftists. He wanted to let them know that he basically said, no, I don't worry. I shot down the drones, but I told Israel.
Don't retaliate. I'm no friend of Israel.
Exactly. So is that true? Is it not true? I mean, who knows? But there are two sides. You know, there are two sides to the story. But I can tell you one thing. There is a tremendous fan of Joe Biden. And that is Hezbollah. Did you know that?
No, please. Okay, elaborate. Well,
here is a post from the official Hezbollah Twitter account that says, after half a year, Israel, in quotes, by the way, I don't know why Israel's in quotes.
It's because they don't believe that it's a country. They think it's Palestine.
Okay, but it didn't.
So it's quotes, Israel, okay. Wink, wink, like Kielu, okay. Yeah.
So he writes, after half a year, Israel has not entered Rafah and has not liberated its prisoners whom Netanyahu promised to recover. After half a year, Israel has not achieved its declared war goals, but its conditions have worsened at all levels. Israel is experiencing a diplomatic collapse and economic hardship, security complexity, and social and political divisions. The recent contact between Biden and Netanyahu confirmed that Washington is capable of imposing its decisions on Israel. And if a ceasefire is declared in the Gaza Strip, this is a major defeat for Israel. This is Hezbollah saying this.
I'm just thinking right now, imagine you're the Twitter guy, like you're the social media guy for Hezbollah. You know what I'm saying? Like, is that like a flex in the Arab world?
Yeah.
Like, I think not to brag, but I am the guy. I am the Twitter guy for Hezbollah, you know? No, I don't identify, but whatever, you know, they hire me because I have med skills.
I think it's actually probably pretty terrifying to be the anything in Hezbollah, right?
Hezbollah, yeah. You always have a mark on your back.
Exactly. You make one mistake with that Twitter, you know what I mean? One, if you miss, imagine he tweeted this. And by the way, so I read the 5 points that he puts, and every time they write Israel, it's in quotes. Imagine he missed a quote on the word Israel.
Nasrallah will have your head.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So I wouldn't want the
very
job.
Very stressful job. Very yes. Stress.
Yes. And by the way, there was a lot of talk about the upcoming laser weapon. We've talked about it, the laser weapon that's going to replace Iron Dome eventually.
Yeah, well, I was thinking this.
Right.
Like, could you imagine if we had the laser?
Right.
And like Iran can't even get it like past, it won't even come in, like
yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, so a lot of people thought that it was being used. It's not being used. It's actually not deployed yet. But the United States actually did deploy it right now in Iraq, finally. It has now been deployed and they're going to be testing it. It's actually called, so the United States version is called the Directed Energy Maneuver Short Range Air Defense, or DMSHORAD.
I mean, by way of acronyms, we can definitely do better.
Yeah, or like just forget the acronym and just go with a word. Like Great Britain is developing their own laser weapon, and it's called Dragonfire.
that works? Right? Or how about laser defense?
Right.
I'll take that.
Anything.
LD.
How'd you get DMSHORAD? You know, the Brits are laughing at us right now.
You know the Brits are making fun of us, for sure. There's no question.
With their noses in the air, like, you know, stuck up.
The silly Americans with their crazy organization names, FBI. who would put those letters together? I've never.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, we're a laughing stock.
We need to do better.
Yeah, no, way better. Especially on such a cool item.
Yeah.
Right?
It could be great. Dragonfire sounds exciting.
I know. I'm jealous.
Yeah. Yeah. Up your game. Up your game, America.
We could probably steal Dragonfire. Let's be honest. Right? The Brits won't like it, but there will be nothing they could do about it.
It's true. I mean, right? We did take this country, right? Right.
1776. No, and then they'll be crying. They're like, but they took it from us. They took it. We had Dragonfire, and nobody would believe it.
Yeah,
exactly.
You're right. They should be listening to this cast. So much valuable information. A lot going on with Biden. A lot going on with Trump. I really don't want to get into it. His criminal trial in New York has started. But before we get to that, so Biden, you know, the more he talks, and you know, it is a election year, and the more Biden is like interviewed, and the more he speaks, the scarier it is to watch his deterioration. Here's a clip. He was interviewed by, I think, Univision.
I'm sorry. By who?
Univision?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're like just, yeah.
Listen, you say
Univision.
You say tortilla. I say tortilla or both. So here's what he had to say.
Did you spend a lot of time thinking about what your legacy would look like?
Well, I hope the legacy is that I kept my word, that I said that the reason I was running was to help change the life of ordinary people and reduce the prospect of war. And because of Vietnam. And when I ran, I said that I was once asked, well, why wouldn't, when I was 1 and 29 years old, I said, it must be a secret. And I said, yeah, the secret you got to ask yourself is, what are you willing to lose over? You figure out what you're willing to lose over, you got an idea of what you should be doing. And so I hope my legacy is that I was honest, straightforward, and did what I said.
Yeah, I don't know where that comes in, but to be Muhammad's chus, maybe.
Wait. Did he say Vietnam, or am I hearing things?
He did. Maybe he was there. Maybe because I went through Vietnam, says
he
Joe Biden.
Vietnam, right?
Right. No. Maybe because I was in it, I vowed never to have more wars.
Oh, is that what he's saying?
Yeah. I'm just saying, you, like, we can clear, but
It's a little strange. Come on.
Yeah, you gotta admit. It is. But I'm just saying, like, if I was on the president's team, like, if
that's
I
how you would coach
I would
it.
Be a spin doctor. And
right. But you need to be a spin doctor.
Yeah, you know, you Gamora
I wanted to reduce the prospects of war with Vietnam because we were all so worried about that. maybe there's some threat that we don't know about from Vietnam.
I would step in and just make Clark Hyde for everyone.
You should be their press secretary. Really.
I'm just saying.
You could do it.
I totally
imagine
could do
they
it.
Ask, what did the president mean when he said
you need a Gamora
Vietnam?
Cup? Yes. You need a Gamora cup, 100%. But it can be spun.
100%. But Trump is not all that much better, by the way. I mean, there's no way to explain what he said at a campaign rally. I'm just going to play it, and you'll just have to hear it and decide.
The Union was saved by the immortal heroes at Gettysburg. Gettysburg, what an unbelievable battle that was, the Battle of Gettysburg. What an unbelievable, I mean, it was so much and so interesting and so vicious and horrible and so beautiful in so many different ways. It represented such a big portion of the success of this country. Gettysburg, wow. I go to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania to look and to watch. And the statement of Robert E. Lee, who's no longer in favor. Did you ever notice that? No longer in favor. Never fight uphill, me boys. Never fight uphill. They were fighting uphill. He said, wow, that was a big mistake. He lost his great general. And they were fighting. Never fight uphill, me boys. But it was too late.
What was that word salad?
I mean, I understood it, you know.
No,
his mind, first of all, it's too many rallies.
Yeah.
He's doing too many rallies. The man is almost 80.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But to be fair, as I can do, spin it.
Clary, yeah.
Again, he was saying that there were beautiful things about Gettysburg.
What was beautiful about Gettysburg?
I mean, you know, it was a battle.
Okay, but
there's
a
winner, there's a loser. So this it's horrible and it's great all at the same time.
No.
And he's quoting Robert E. Lee, don't fight uphill, because that's strategy.
Okay.
It's a strategic move.
Okay, you know, Gettysburg was arguably the worst battle of the Civil War, the most lives lost.
That's why I say ugliness. There was ugliness.
But a lot of beauty. And it reminded me of like what some of the comedians say, like Ami Kozak. We played that clip, how he contradicts himself. Whatever he says, he contradicts. If you want to copy Trump, all you have to do is say something and contradict. It was vicious and horrible, but also beautiful.
Right.
Like what? What are you talking about?
But that's just him. That's him. You can't like write him off as crazy or whatever or incoherent. But during his trial, which we didn't mention, they said he fell asleep.
Twice over 2 days. Yes, he fell asleep again. And it's interesting because this trial, you know, because it's a criminal trial, he has to be there every day. And the judge actually said if he didn't show, he was going to be put in jail.
Right, contempt of court.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, look, nobody could sit through those things, right? I fall asleep if it's, you know.
I have a hard time believing that if prison was in the, you know, realm of possibilities.
He's apparently not very nervous.
Not at all.
Why would he be? Like, all the scholars and the pundits are just telling him straight away that this is part of the witch hunt. Nothing's going to happen. They have no case, whatever. His lawyers are making him very comfortable, I'm sure. And you know what? The reality is probably nothing is going to happen to him.
Well, if nothing else, his poll numbers have been dropping. He's been leading Biden for a while now. He's been dropping. The betting odds have now shifted against him.
No.
Oh, yes.
Because I know you're a big betting odds guy.
And you know, if you remember, go back and listen to the podcast from almost like a year ago at this point, where I said that the trials were going to hurt him tremendously. And I had said at the time, I don't see any possibility of him winning the election if any of the trials are criminal, and if certainly if any of them, you know, are successful.
Result in a conviction.
In a conviction, he could not win. And we see the polls, he's dropping. He's dropping, you know, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, they were like, oh, he's 10 points ahead in this poll. He's 6 points ahead in that poll. And the betting odds reflected that. And now it has completely shifted.
But when is this going to be over, and will there be enough time for him to make a comeback statistically?
So, I mean, it's moving along. It's moving along at a good clip. We don't know when it's going to be over. It depends on the trial. Can he recover from it? I mean, I guess it depends on what the outcome is going to be. I mean, I don't know. We're in uncharted territories. He's the first president in history to be brought on criminal charges.
Right. And they're also making him miss his son's graduation.
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem too happy about that.
He doesn't seem too upset about
it. We waited years. I mean, look, Barron is, you know, it's his last. You want to be at that graduation.
Yes and no. I kind of have a feeling he'd be sleeping there or sleeping in
the... By the way, graduation season...
Snooze fest.
I'm nowhere to be found.
Snooze fest.
Absolutely cannot attend any graduations. Nieces, nephews, sorry, no from now. By the way, I'm not coming.
How tall is Barron?
Yeah, he's like 6'5".
He towers over his own father. His father's tall. He's massively tall. He's pretty crazy tall.
I mean, this boy has a future. There's no question about it.
I have tall envy. You know that.
Yeah. Well, listen, I want to be tall too.
Me too.
Like taller.
Well, you know, there's surgery now you could do and people are doing it. I think we covered it, right?
I think they break the femur.
Yes.
They break both legs.
And they put this clamp and every week or so they extend it like an eighth of an inch and they just keep doing that until the person gets like 2 inches
but then they have taller. Like weirdly long legs because it doesn't like elongate the torso. It's just legs.
It's like a reverse gorilla look, right? The gorillas have the long arms,
right?
You have the long legs. But I'll take it.
But there is also such a thing as being too tall. Like, you don't want to be too tall.
I don't want to be too tall, but I could take 2-3 inches. I'll take, if put it this way, if I could go to Turkey and get a couple inches, I'd do it.
If you wanted to go to Turkey, I will support you.
Really? So what are you going to do? Teeth, hair? What do you got?
No, I'm not coming with you.
Oh, what do you? Oh, I thought you were going to support me and come with me.
I'm supportive. Supportive.
I'm not sure.
I don't know if it's so safe to go to Turkey these days.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you see Erdogan on the phone with the Hamas bosses?
I didn't.
Yeah, because they didn't.
He's been pro.
What's the short guy's name with the perfectly trimmed beard? It's always perfect.
Yes. Are you talking about Ismail Haniyeh?
Haniyeh, yeah.
Who just lost his 3 sons and grandchildren in an Israeli strike.
So Erdogan called during the funeral and he put the phone on the mic and you have Erdogan saying to Ismail Haniyeh, condolences, I'm so sorry for your loss, whatever. I mean, he's a Hamasnik.
Yeah, he's a Hamasnik.
And that means Turkey, how safe is that? How safe could Turkey be? For Jews.
Right. And they're going to know you're Jewish because who else is coming to get
the new teeth. Transplant? Right.
High transplant is Jews. Jews are notoriously short.
Yeah, I guess. That's true.
Yeah. Okay. And moving on from that, by the way, we have a follow-up to the tunnel controversy in 770. So the 13 young men are being brought on charges and they have pled not guilty.
Well, are they?
I don't know what the strategy is there.
I don't either. Like, it would make sense probably just to plead this out.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
You know? I mean, it's the whole thing.
How are they going to, not guilty, what are they going to say exactly? Like we didn't burrow a tunnel? Like, what's their strategy?
Well, what are the charges first?
The charges include criminal mischief and obstructing governmental administration.
I mean, like, that's probably accurate.
Yeah, it's pretty accurate.
It's kind of like it is mischievous to build a tunnel underneath anything, let alone a shul.
Yeah. So, like, what's their defense here?
Maybe they're just going to take the Talmudic defense.
Like what? What could you possibly say in this case?
You call this a tunnel? This has no shame tunnel. This is not it's a hole under the ground.
A long hole.
Right? That's what it is. This is not a real tunnel. There's no electricity going through. You want to see a tunnel? Go to Gaza.
I hear it.
I'm telling you
this. And they convinced one another, like, we could make this a case. I have amigo here. Yeah, okay. I think you have a future as a spin doctor. Or a defense lawyer, maybe.
Could be.
Well, okay, I have another case for you. A Jewish man in Florida is suing an EMT training center because of his facial hair.
Okay, explain.
So he has a beard, a short beard, and he did this course to be an EMT. And when it came time for the final test or whatever, where he does, I think it's called like a ride-along where you go in an ambulance, they wouldn't allow him to come because of his facial hair, saying, you know, there is a CDC, which we can include in the WhatsApp, a CDC guide for facial hair because, you know, this came out during COVID. Remember where there was a lot of talk about an N95 and how
Does it protect? Doesn't it protect? Exactly.
So there is a guide on facial hair. And, you know, technically, according to the CDC, you're not really supposed to have much facial hair. He's suing and saying, well, I asked them from the beginning.
Can I have a beard?
Exactly. And they said yes. And then after I paid and after I did the whole course, they only offered me a partial refund and they wouldn't give me certification.
Well, no, I'm sorry. He has.
He has a TINA.
He's in the right. Of course he
100%, is. 100%. 100%. I mean, look, I'm showing you. This is a chart from the CDC. It's from the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health, or NOSH for short. Is this fake? Am I being
you being trolled?
What is this? No, this is real. I think this is real. And by the way, I didn't know there were so many styles of beards. There's the walrus. There's the wet noodle. Like, what is this? Is this real?
The wet noodle has my attention right now. I think that's like an Asian style of mustache that goes all the way down.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm much more concerned with that one. Third from the left. Third row. What is that guy?
That's the Hulahi.
The Hulahi. If I see a guy with a Hulahi, I'm turning around and walking the other
crossing way. Crossing the street, yeah. 100%. Okay. Also, this one's coming out of Germany, and this had your name written all over it. So an employee of a museum, I think he was a janitor, if I remember correctly. He's an employee at the museum. It turns out he's also an artist. He's a budding artist.
Okay.
And he figured out, wait a second, here's my breakout opportunity. He went and mounted his painting in the museum, hoping to be noticed by people, and he'd become like a breakout artist.
Well, not the worst plan.
Not the worst idea, right? No. You got to give him some credit.
How did it shake out?
He got caught.
Okay.
He's being prosecuted.
No.
Oh, yes.
What, is that a criminal offense in Germany?
Everything's a criminal offense in Germany,
bro.
That's right.
We are very straight people here. I mean, I can't imagine what's actually illegal about this unless, like, he's taking off. Like, imagine there's a Picasso.
Right.
Right? And he's just like, nobody will notice if I put this. Nobody will notice if I put this Picasso on the back and replace it with my morning Wunderbar.
Well, they noticed. And he's in trouble.
Apparently they did.
This podcast has gone long, but we intentionally let it go a little bit longer because we, like we said, we need to give you enough to keep you over Pesach. And with that, we hope you have a beautiful Pesach. We hope you enjoy it, you grow from it, you enjoy it with the family, enjoy the chayin.
Have it with some potato sticks, you know?
Yeah, you're going to be having a lot of potato sticks.
Or macaroons. Like, yep. Break out the macaroons for this one.
Because it's the one time a year where you eat a macaroon.
Pesach cake.
Why is that? Why don't we eat macaroons more? I like macaroons. Okay. I have to like them a lot.
Macaroons are not a thing. They are, it's like, you know what it is? It's bunker food. That's what it is.
But I love them. What does that mean?
I'm sure you do. You maybe have like this nostalgia in your brain from when you were a child.
I love them. I love coconut.
I can't do it. I cannot do it.
They're so fattening.
They're just not good.
I love them. See, this is what I'm telling you. I love Pesach food.
Yeah, you're not the norm. Like, I tolerate macaroons. I will eat them, like, in an emergency. Like, if my blood sugar is going low because there's literally nothing to eat on Chag HaChomra.
You turn to a macaroon.
Exactly.
I hear
exactly.
It. I hear it. We hope everybody has a wonderful Pesach. We will see you soon.
Yes, Chag Kosher V'Sameach to all our listeners. And we will see you after it's all over. And we thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to join the WhatsApp group. You can do that either from the show notes or visit us at KiddushClubPodcast.com. Follow us on X, follow us on Instagram, and don't forget to support the cast by visiting buymeacoffee.com/Kiddush Club. Show your support for the cast, and until next time, Kiddush Club out.
And this episode is copyright Kiddush Club Media.